Attention, patriots. Broadcasting from the Free Zones, Radio Free Redoubt begins in 5, 4, 3, 2...
To the voice of the American Redoubt. This is the Morning Commute with JJS and Lady Liberty.
Good morning. Happy Thursday to all of you out there.
Yes, it is a beautiful morning, and it is really beautiful on 96.5 FM and AM 630 on the dial right now. If you're in the Spokane area, hopefully you think it's a beautiful thing. We're enjoying it. But we are broadcasting live out of Spokane right now on KTW under a Liberty Broadcasting System, and they are an affiliate of American Christian Network. We're also live streaming, so if you are outside the area or outside the wire, as we say, then you can tell your like-minded friends and family, or if you're just you might be right out of Coeur d'Alene, Spokane, just over the hill where you're not quite able to get the signal, you can still get the live streaming. And then also, don't forget, you can call in. We have a telephone number. There are a lot of folks out there still that have very difficult or poor or no internet, and they have landlines. You could still call in and listen on over the phone. So we have a lot of folks that do that.
Right.
Now, it is, let's see, what is this? It's called July 23rd, Thursday, and the year is just flying by. And one of the reasons why it's flying by is because things are just happening at breakneck speed.
I know it. I still can't believe what we're in the middle of right now.
I know. It's historic. This is historic. And, of course, a lot of people in the future that will be looking back into the history books will be ashamed and say, how could those people be so dumb to let that happen to the most powerful nation on earth?
I know. Well, hopefully it's not as bad as that. Hopefully they're going, God bless some of those people that, you know, really were working hard and trying to save the nation. And so,
well, you never hear about those folks, do you? You hear Rome fell, all right? You hear Europe has fallen, right? They've completely brought in all of these foreign nations, mostly Muslims, who are there to conquer Germany, Holland, France. And you hear of the crime sprees, and they're losing their culture. And you think, well, what a bunch of morons. But there are patriots there that love their country. They've been fighting against this. And matter of fact, just like in America, most people don't want this insanity that's taking place. But the history books don't reflect the guys that really did love their country, and they were not stupid, but the people that were that had the power implemented very stupid policies and really suicidal to the nation.
Right. And throughout history, biblically even, well, biblically especially, what we see when nations don't adhere to God and when they don't follow his laws, he lets their enemies conquer them.
Yeah. Well, I've covered those scriptures a lot, Isaiah, Ezekiel, and Lamentations, where God says, if you don't turn around, if you continue rebelling against me, this is what's going to happen. People from a foreign land who are not of you will live in your homes. They will eat your crops. They will take your children as slaves. They will kill your young men. And just like the whole list. Or if you repent, right, then here's all this wonderful blessings that I want to shower on you.
Right, right. And in my podcast, The Political Church, that was what my first 7 episodes were about, was asking not just the church to repent and become closer to God, but asking our enemies to repent as well, because it says we are to love our enemies. And so one of the questions I posed was, how do we love our enemies? And the very best way to love our enemies is like what we saw in the story of Jonah, where he absolutely did not want to go to Nineveh, and he wanted God to destroy the Ninevites, and God said, but these people don't know their right hand from their left hand.
Right.
You must go and tell them to repent, because God wanted to give them the chance to return to Him. And so, in that like manner, I in the podcast, I called both the church and our enemies to repent, that they have that chance. And that's a way that we can love our enemies, is by explaining to them what the gospel is about, and trying to explain why repentance and being near God is exactly where they want to be. And so when we say repent, the two greatest stories back to back are 2 Chronicles 33 and 2 Chronicles 34. And in 33, we have the story of King Manasseh, who was the equivalent of a Satan worshiper for like 55 years. And so God delivered him to the Babylonians. And when he was delivered to the Babylonians, he repented and God forgave him and took him back. And so that to me is symbolic of our enemies, the people that we have that are godless and the satanic and a lot of the liberals, the lost left, all of those people would be like the Manasseh camp, right?
Right.
And then,
right.
And then our church would be 2 Chronicles 34, which was King Josiah, who was a tried and true, very, very good king that rectified all of those issues and problems. But then when he read the Mosaic Law, he was so blown away that he repented as well, because he wanted to be even closer to God, and he didn't realize how much he was doing wrong. And so God, in turn, saved him as well. So it's kind of like a calling to both the enemies and the church to repent in order to get closer to God.
Here's another way, a loving thing to do, by another way to love your enemies is call them to repent, because although as a nation of God's people, I'm talking about the Christians here. You got Israel, and you've got the United States. Two nations, the only two nations that were built specifically for God's kingdom on earth. You know,
right.
for God's reign on earth, His people, and we can look to how God handled them when they rebelled against Him.
Right.
But in every case where God allowed, if they didn't correct themselves, a foreign nation attacked them, either took them as slaves or attacked them in one way or another, it brought the God's people to their knees. So they cried out to Him,
yep.
And they repented, and then He redeemed them again. So
that's
here's how you love your enemies. Don't touch us. Well, because guess what? When God's done using you to spank us, you're getting slammed.
Yep.
You're getting face slammed into the dirt, and you are done.
You're right.
Toast, right? You're going to be used as a tool to punish us. But they are going to follow those orders. They'll be led by the nose. They won't even know it. They're supernaturally led to go after Israel in the Bible today to the United States, and we're going to get the snot kicked out of us until we cry out to God, because that's what brings revival. That's what brings us back to Him is it requires that.
Right, right. And that truly is, a lot of people don't understand that they're not necessarily outright sinning, but maybe their thought life isn't up to par. Maybe they have, thoughts in their mind that are maybe spiteful or angry or all sorts of different things that fall away from the glory of God. And so even in repentance in those kind of issues, we're brought closer to Him as well. So,
yeah, very true. Very true. Now, you have a word of the day, a scripture.
I do.
Did you already give it when you were talking?
No,
oh, okay.
No.
Well, you mentioned a couple of scriptures. I wasn't sure if we just didn't catch that was the scripture of the day, but
nope, we've got an official one.
Good. Yesterday was Psalm 144:1, one of my favorites.
Yeah, which was cool because I didn't even know that. So yeah. that's pretty exciting. Okay, so the word of the day today for Thursday is out of 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, which reads, "Whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith."
Oh, our faith has overcome the world.
Our faith, yeah. How
very cool.
Is that?
That's very cool. Okay, 1 John chapter 4, what?
Chapter 5, verse 4.
Oh, 5. Okay, 5, verse 4. Okay, good.
Which I've is a great that. Verse, especially when we're talking so much about walking our faith and bringing the word into action into the political and governmental realm.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Which what we're talking about here. And I have to be careful because I got 1 John percentage sign 4.
Excellent.
That doesn't work. I can't find that anywhere in the Bible. So don't hold the shift button down when you press number 5, right? So yeah, right now in the news cycle, we're seeing a lot of just really wild stuff happening. Governors, corporations, they're calling for mask. Everybody, you leave the house, you got to put on a mask. And these large corporations are pushing for it. Mayors are pushing for it. Governors are pushing for it. Now everything's the mask is the savior. Right, so things are being notched up. Now this is going to be excellent practice for the mark of the beast,
right,
which we've been doing. We've been practicing, right? But see, besides that, besides you have this smoke and mirror thing going on with the COVID deal, but then you also have this communist revolution, insurrection, and a presidential executive level coup taking place. And this is magnificent. I mean, this is just, it is so.
It's such a grand scale that all of this is happening on. I'm blown away. I'm absolutely blown away by the scale.
It is. Now, there are a lot of great conservative voices out there. They're watching. They're commenting on this. They're trying to help us make sense of all of this. And you and I are both doing the same thing. We look at some of the headlines. America's most powerful CEOs band together asking every business to require customers to wear unscientific Chi-Com masks. This is from Liberty Daily. But communist revolutionaries attack federal courthouse on day 55 of a Democrat-endorsed riots. Hearing on Oregon's attorney general request for order to prevent enforcement of federal law ends without a decision by judge. So the elected officials in Oregon are fighting against the enforcement of this chaos and anarchy.
Good.
The elected officials in Oregon are fighting the Trump administration
to bring order
because they're trying to – yeah, they're using federal troops. They're talking about trying to get the National Guard, maybe even the military, to bring order to this chaos, these riots, these anarchist riots. And they're suing him. They're trying to go to court. They're trying to get judges to rule against the federal government's enforcement efforts to bring order while they are encouraging it. These Democrats are encouraging this revolution, really, is what's happening. And in the meantime, the leftists, the Marxists, are doxing up to 38 federal law enforcement agents. In other words, this is where they live. Here's their home address. This is where their families are. This is where you can find them. This places their lives in danger, which is the whole point. And so things have definitely been taken to the next level. And the reporters are even challenging the White House. Where in the Constitution are you authorized to use, you know, federal law enforcement to stop riots and insurgencies?
Are they kidding?
I know.
I mean, really? Did they actually ask that? That shows how much they know about the Constitution, which is obviously zero.
Well, here's the problem, or here's another component to this. Let me try to find this. This is really important here. Because this points to our misidentifying the enemy. You and I, multiple times we've said, know your enemy.
Right.
So over at One News Now, there's a very popular female conservative blogger that I look up to. She's sharp, she's bold, she's courageous, but missed the mark on this one. In her article, she writes, "It's not the enemy, it's not socialism or communism under which we suffer. Our dangerously chaotic, selectively oppressive predicament is more accurately described as anarcho-tyranny." Those are verbs. Anarchy and tyranny are not the real problem. But I've heard other conservative people that I respect, and they're sharp, they're smart, they're educated, they're saying the enemy isn't socialism or communism. It's anarchy. It's tyranny. You know, they're missing the mark. Would you agree, Lady Liberty?
Oh, totally.
Help me out here.
Totally. That's for people that are new to this, and they're suddenly thrust into this massive grand scale of an atomization of this nation, are going to be clueless as to what's going on. But if you've been studying all of this and learning about the United Nations I've been studying this for the past 14 years. This has been their goal ever since the beginning of the UN, was to bring the U.S. down.
Yep.
And so, of course, they're going to orchestrate and work with all of their cohorts and enemies that are on their side. And this is what their all-out attack looks like.
That's right.
And so... So with the atomization that's happening, that's why we are seeing attacks from everywhere.
Yes, we are.
And
yes,
this is what you call the beginning of a war.
That's right. And we're going to talk about just that when we come back, because it's not just the beginning. It's been ongoing. Yuri right. Bezmenov said, you people don't know it. America is already at war.
And by the way, the U.S. was fine, and we were united before the communists got in here and started dividing everybody.
That's right.
And they started at the university level and telling all of our young people that they didn't want capitalism and that communism was so wonderful. And then they started slowly pitting all the groups against each other.
That's right.
That is not American. And so this whole thing did not originate in America. It originated from outside of this nation. And these are all of our enemies that have basically come here all at once and unified in an attack against us. That's what this is.
Exactly. That's exactly what this is. So, hey, you are listening to The Morning Commute with JJS and Lady Liberty. We're talking about the issues of the day, understanding that our nation is in peril, the nation that we love and that was blessed abundantly by the Lord that we love. We want to try to get it back. We want to navigate through these crises that are coming, and we want to stay close to Him and encourage one another and build each other up along the way. So until our nation decides to repent. But anyway, stay right there. This is the Voice of the American Redoubt, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Recognizing a communist, physical appearance counts for nothing. If he openly declares himself to be a communist, we take his word for it. If a person consistently reads and advocates the views expressed in a communist publication, he may be a communist. If a person supports organizations which reflect communist teachings, or organizations labeled communist by the Department of Justice, she may be a communist. If a person defends the activities of communist nations while consistently attacking the domestic and foreign policy of the United States, she may be a communist. If a person does all these things over a period of time, he must be a communist. But there are other communists who don't show their real faces, who work more silently.
We are an exceptional country. Our religion, and I will say it, is exceptional. That's what made us great. So don't be afraid to talk about it, because that's what it means to be an American. The world is looking to us for leadership, not President Obama, us. The people in Ukraine aren't looking to the federal government. They're looking to all these local governments for leadership, and it's going to come from us.
Welcome back to The Morning Commute with JJS and Lady Liberty. Thank you all for joining us and being with us this morning. Lady Liberty pulled up a great scripture, and that is 1 John 5:4. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. Lady Liberty, do you want to read that for us one more time?
Whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith.
Exactly. Our faith. That's what's overcome the world. And they want to try to separate us from that. This world wants to separate us from that. Interesting how last week, or just earlier this week, yesterday maybe, well, in the last couple of days, Joe Biden was trying to cater to the evangelical Christians, talking about, he's trying to win over the evangelical Christians. Then he turns around and he goes to the Muslim Democratic, or what was it, the... He calls for Muslim Americans to mobilize against President Donald Trump. Now, we're talking about an ideology, a total world system that is anti-American, un-American, and at its core must overthrow America and the Constitution and replace it with Sharia law.
Right.
That's the ideology that he's appealing to overthrow President Trump.
Well, and so I keep saying, then we know what side they're on, right? And so what this is like I was saying, when you study this stuff and where it has come from, you know, since 1945 with the United Nations, they have been setting up their governance structure throughout America ever since. And that governance structure is called sustainable development.
Right.
And it was brought in by the first President Bush, and then Clinton followed up with a whole bunch of executive orders to back that up and bring it in. And what that did was that created a UN governance structure that we now call the shadow government, right?
Right,
deep state. And all the players that side with that foreign governance structure taking over American governance structure is what we're looking at right now. So we're actually looking at a governance in America that is divided. It's almost divided nearly down the middle at this point, because the UN globalists have gained so much traction and such a foothold in the U.S. under all of their policies. They've actually created a governance that is right alongside of our traditional existing governance. And so anywhere right. you see sustainable development, it causes our jurisdictional borders to be gray.
That's right.
And it combines and mixes networks according to different funding and you know, grants with strings attached, if they would just have connected all of these UN programs across our government. And so that's what we're looking at right now. And these are, all of these policies are backed by the communists, the socialists, and now the fascists, right? So all of those people are on the same side. So you have Biden saying things to the Muslims like, now it's time to vote and take over Trump, right?
And so
of course he is like the mouthpiece right now for the shadow government. Trump is the mouthpiece for the existing traditional American government. And so that's why we're trying to let people know what's going on, so that they can understand who the enemy is,
right.
how they're so
right.
well coordinated, so well funded right now from a global stance. I mean, they're getting their funding from outside the United States.
Yeah.
And
so
it's a concerted effort that is just phenomenal in scale, just like we're saying. And we've got the head of our existing traditional government is Trump. The head of the shadow government in the highest seat right now is Nancy Pelosi.
Yes. Yeah, undoubtedly. And provably.
Right. And
arguably. I mean, it's the evidence is there. So we almost kind of seems dogmatic, you know, where we're just like presenting things as if they were fact, but, you know, without providing facts. But we have.
We've documented all of this.
Exhaustively. Yep. Matter of fact, your book, The Perils of Sustainable Development, is nothing but research. I mean, it is not conjecture. It's not, you know, this is what I think.
There's
this
no,
is what
yeah,
it
there's,
means.
There's no opinions in my book. It's strictly
it's
references.
Their words,
and facts.
Their yep. documents. They're yep. completely saying, this is what we're going to do and this is how we're going to do it. And there you are pointing to it, right? So,
right.
You know, and here, and this leads to also this counter state where you've got this Marxist. When we say Marxist, we're talking about adherence to Karl Marx's and Engels' original vision for building a utopian world, what evolved into communism. So we use communism or Marxism
or socialism. Yeah, they all use
interchangeably.
Marx. They all use Karl Marx.
Exactly. So, yeah. But they've aligned themselves, this red-green axis, with Marxists or communists, which are the globalists. They want to do this on a global scale. So there's no longer just Soviet Union and China over there. This is global. This Marxism and communism implemented it on a global level. So it's kind of all-encompassing when we say globalist, United Nations, Marxist, communist. So you'll – not to confuse folks that maybe are kind of new to this and might be kind of confused trying to figure out who are they talking about? Who's the Marxist and who's the communist? Well,
right.
It's pretty much all the same people.
Right.
And that's what we mean by that. But they've also aligned themselves and have for years with Islam. And so now you've got Joe Biden also just a couple days ago, within days of maybe even hours of talking to evangelicals, trying to win their vote. He's talking to Muslims saying we need to, he says, it's time for the U.S. schools to ramp up Islamic curriculum across the nation. A curriculum teaching a doctrine that is inherently opposed to and adversarial toward the United States and our founding, everything that we are, our laws. So, you know, I wanted to mention that before we took the break, there is, and I just want to let the, like the last minute to get the candidates list names out again. But, Yuri Bezmenov said, we are already at war until we realize that. And he talked about the crisis and normalization. Said the next stage is crisis. That's what's coming. And that is going to really accelerate things fast. And that is going to bring in the normalization. When the tanks came rolling into Czechoslovakia, they said, now we can normalize Czechoslovakia.
Oh dear.
So they're telling you, this is normal. Now that tanks are on your street in Czechoslovakia, now we can normalize. Now things have been crisis, upset, and destabilized. Now, thank goodness, the tanks are here. We can begin the normalization process.
Right.
And everybody's like, oh, whew, back to normal. Oh, yeah, the new normal.
Oh, dear.
We're all in this together, comrade.
Yeah, right.
All right, so you've got some list of candidates. Let's get those shot out there before we close
out.
Yes,
let's keep in mind, we can make a difference, seriously, if we get out there and vote. It's I hate to say it like that, but that is the God's honest truth. Okay, so for governor, let's all get behind Lauren Culp. He's outstanding.
Yes.
For attorney general, let's all get behind Brett Rogers. He has to replace Ferguson. Lieutenant Governor, we need Marty McClendon. Secretary of State, Kim Wyman. State Treasurer, Dwayne Davidson. State Auditor, Chris Leiba. Leiba, however you pronounce it. I hope I'm not killing it. Commissioner of Public Lands, Sue Kuehl Peterson. Superintendent of Public Instruction, very strong guy, Ron Higgins. We need him. Insurance Commissioner, Anthony Welty. For Legislative District 7, J.J. Wandler, and for Legislative District 4, Rob Chase.
There you go, folks. You got the name. We're going to repeat them a couple, two or three times before the elections. All right, we're out of time. God bless. You guys have a safe and a blessed day. This is John Jacob Schmidt with the Morning Commute, Radio Free Redoubt.
And this is Lady Liberty. You all have a blessed day.